morning, everyone. This is Alan Ellis, and I'm here today with my lovely and beautiful bride.
Good morning, everybody.
That's Robin. And we're here to talk about fishing and hunting in the great outdoors, and we would invite you to join us in that endeavor to talk about fishing, hunting in the great outdoors from your perspective. What's going on in your world? Have you been out fishing this week? You know, the pickerel fishing has been hot. Not so much on the perch yet, but hopefully that's going to pick up here real soon. We do have a major storm coming into Maryland this weekend, and it looks like there's going to be some snow on the ground for the next couple of days. Of course, we're coming to the end of the archery season, the bow season. It'll end today for a lot of people. And some places, I believe, you can still hunt tomorrow. The primitive season is coming in on Monday through Wednesday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And that will be for primitive weapons like longbows. And I know people who have actually made longbows, and we'll be hunting with them. They call them self bows sometimes, longbows, and recurve bows, and also flintlocks and percussion caps. Those are the old, you know, first muzzle loaders that were allowed to be used. No inlines, that type of thing. So if you have one of those old weapons from back in the day before the inlines came on, you're permitted to go deer hunting Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Now, I would caution you, if you're going to go, make sure your optics are good. I mean, your binoculars, not necessarily your scope, because on a primitive weapon, you shouldn't have one. But, you know, make sure you take along a pair of binoculars, and if you decide to shoot a deer, you know, it may be a buck that shed his antlers. That's one concern I've heard for this season. You know, if you want to put meat in the freezer, well, you're going to shoot a doe that will likely be carrying a couple of fawns. So, you know, just be judicious. Now, unless you're, on a management hunt, so to speak, shooting does this late is usually not recommended. But, you know what? My mic is too hot. How's that? Is that better, Chris?
Oh, much better.
All right, good.
I hate to have him screaming in my ear early in the morning.
Yeah, so I mean, there's that. So if you want to talk about the late deer season and that type of thing, we're more than glad to do so with you. So we touch fishing a little bit, hunting a little bit. Of course, there's plenty of opportunities left for rabbits and squirrels and snow geese primarily. As far as the waterfowl are concerned, they'll take a hit. Now, boy, there's a lot of snow geese in Queen Anne's County. Good grief. And I guess there's some up north, too, you know, around Cecil County and Queen Anne's, but, I mean, Kent County as well. But what a bunch of over there near where I hunt. I mean, I see them going over. There must have been 3,000 or 4,000 in the year last time I deer hunted going over in the afternoon, and it was a lot of fun. So watching video with my phone. All right. Well, our contact number here is 410-WCVM680 if you'd like to talk to Robin. It's 410-922-6680, translated, so you're welcome to give that a call. And if you want to talk about late-season hunting, you're certainly welcome to do so. And I don't know what else we'll talk about once we get into it, but we'll keep going. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Alan. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning. How was your week?
Quick. It went real quick.
Yeah.
I mean, I had off Monday and Tuesday, and, you know, just what was left of the week, it's like a blink of an eye, and it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's all Saturday already.
Mm-hmm. Not that that's a bad thing for you.
No, you get to talk to us. Got a lot of rest. Made up on my... I did a lot of sleeping. So
well, that's
that good.
That's good.
So how was your week?
Uneventful. Anytime we have a magazine on deadline, like we did this week, it gets a little stressful around here, doesn't it?
Oh, no. You were just a joy to be with.
Yeah, thank you. I'm sure I was. So.
Well, was it as intense as putting the book together?
Oh, no. Uh-uh. No, that was intensity for months. This is intensity for a week.
Gotcha.
So, you know, I mean, you want to make sure everybody's advertisement is correct. You want to make sure everybody's story gets in the layout, that type of thing. So we did that, and the layout pages are with the designer right now. Of course, there's a couple little tweaks we have to do today, but we'll hopefully go to the printer today and be back next week. So that's part of, that's at least part of the game plan. So should launch online before next Saturday, no question about it, sometime middle of the week, I bet.
Good.
Yeah. We've decided during COVID that there's no secrets in the magazine. There's no wait for the big reveal in the magazine, you know, so why not put it online before it goes on in print? You know, that way the advertisers get the benefit of those people who watch us online. And it's MarylandHuntingQuarterly.com. If you'd like to see the publication, if you don't actually have a hard copy of it, you can see the whole thing printed right there online. We installed new software a couple of issues ago to make the flipbook part of it easier. So it works out well for anybody that wants to go look at it. You can read it right online. I mean, if you want to read a 10x10 magazine on your 3-inch cell phone screen, be my guest. But you can certainly, you know, you can certainly read it if you'd like. You can, you know, do the old 2-finger spread if you want to do the articles, or turn your phone on its side, or whatever you want to do. But it's nice. It's nice to have it online, you know. So, and you can still read the Crab, Marilyn Loves Crabs online too, from 2020. That stays up for an entire year. So, 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. More than glad to hear from you this morning. And my buddy John says, hey.
Good morning, John.
Morning, John. Yep, they found a weasel. Showed a picture of it. White coat, long and thin. Tell me, is that the animal the same as a ferret? It could be a ferret, but more than likely it's the winter phase of a weasel called an ermine, and that's what they're called when the coat changes colors. I don't know if it's a roadkill. A weasel, an ermine, would probably be about, I'm going to say maybe a foot long without the tail, maybe 10 inches without the tail, maybe 14 with the tail, but a ferret, of course, is going to be almost 20 inches or something like that, not including the tail. So,
did you hear that? I think it was sometime in the middle of the week or last week that they found a wolverine in Yellowstone for the first time in decades.
Yeah, I heard that. That's amazing. That is amazing. Those are amazing animals. They're a top-tier predator, and that is actually a member of the weasel family. Did you know that?
That's one of the reasons why I bought it up, because you mm-hmm. mentioned weasels and ferrets and so forth. And it's like,
weasels,
oh, yeah.
Ferrets.
Just wanted to bring that up.
Yeah, skunks. I remember the weasel family. So I got a picture yesterday from a fella in Rising Sun in Cecil County who sent me a photo. He wrote an article for the magazine called A Hunter's Wife, about his wife accompanying on hunting trips and that type of thing throughout the years. And this was years ago. He called me out of the blue yesterday. He says, hey, name's Tom. He said, I got a picture. I took a bobcat up in Bedford County, Pennsylvania. And he said, it's a big one. It's a big one. It's a big bobcat. I think he said it weighed 30 pounds. So that's a monster, and I think I'll send that to you, Chris, when you get a chance. Let's
okay.
see here. When I get a chance, forward message to. There you go. All right, it's on its way.
Thank you.
Yep, no question. So we did schedule a rabbit hunting trip with our buddy up in what county would that be? Caroline County, right, Robin?
Is it Caroline or Queen Anne?
I'm not sure. It might be Queen Anne's. But this fella has a hawk, a red-tailed hawk. Her name is Rosie, and he hunts rabbits with her. So we're anxious to see a demonstration of that when we go rabbit hunting in the middle of the month. So That's all. That's fun. We've hunted that farm before. Plenty of rabbits. Plenty of holes for them to run into. And that's one thing. Rabbit hunting in the snow. Man, when I was a kid, that was amazing. That was absolutely amazing, rabbit hunting in the snow. I would go out, no dog, go out in the snow, especially a fresh snow when it was kind of a unpacked, loose snow, not a wet snow, you know. And we get 8, 10, 12 inches of snow. And I would hunt in fields, of course, but my favorite were fallow fields where the grass had grown up, or someplace where there was just a lot of grass, a lot of like reeds and stuff. Man, you go in there and those rabbits were sitting in there. They were next to cover. They were under the snow. You could see little holes where they were breathing, you know, and kick them out of that snow, and out of that snow they would explode. And sometimes you got one and sometimes you didn't. That was a lot of fun hunting rabbits in snow. So I hunted rabbits a lot, learned a lot, hunted with people that knew a lot, and that was one of my favorite times coming up. So I really enjoy a good rabbit hunt. Now we hunt with dogs. I hunt with a fella out of Queen Anne's County who has a pack of dogs, and we've written about it a couple times in the magazine. He has. So we're just looking forward to the rabbit hunt. Chris, I've been yakking here. Anybody on the line yet?
Yes, we have Peter from Parkville.
Well, let's talk to Peter from Parkville. Good morning, Peter from Parkville.
Good morning, Alan and Robin.
How morning.
Are you?
Yes, terrific. Listen, at the top of the show, you mentioned pickerel, I believe. And I just wanted to know, what neighborhood did they live in?
The pickerels?
Yeah.
Most of the tidal rivers, you'll find pickerel. Uh-huh. Magothy seems to be hot. There are pickerel in the Eastern Shore ponds, primarily around Salisbury. I think state record came out of a pond in Salisbury, over 8 pounds. But they're a lot of fun on light tackle.
Yeah. Anything closer to the Baltimore area? I mean, lakes or anything?
I'm not sure there's a lot of pickerel in the reservoirs. I can't tell you that.
Right.
I don't know if Tacklebox Tim's listening or not. He might be able to tell us a little bit about pickerel.
Well, that'd be nice, you know, if it's something a little closer by.
There's
this side of the bay.
Yeah. Well, the Magothy. I mean, you can always do that.
Yeah.
Can
you fish from shoreline on the Magothy?
Certain places you can. You'd have to really explore that for sure.
Right.
Yep.
I don't know that there are any parks per se or anything around the Magothy.
Well, there's got to be some ponds around the area where there's pickerel, whether they're stocked by the department or if they somebody relocated fish in there.
Right.
But go fish. Okay. If you have to catch one, you happen to catch one, you catch one. A lot of it is inline spinner type of stuff,
like
MEP spinner and things like that. A lot of people use minnows on bobbers.
Yeah,
minnows on a bobber, sure.
Yeah. Sure.
Yep.
Now, let me ask you this, Alan. What about crappie? Are they available at this time of the year?
They are, and it's a great time of year to find crappie.
Cold water.
Yeah, the closest place for crappie would be someplace like Piney Run or Sentinel Centennial Lake. But you got to find a brush pile. If you find one, you'll find a bunch.
Right.
Once again, minnow on a bobber.
Yeah, if you find one, you just keep tossing out in the same direction.
Yep.
And bring it in.
Same thing like a dart with a minnow, something like that.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness, what good eating.
They are. They're delicious.
Delicious. Well, listen, I'll let other callers come on board.
Thanks, Pete.
Yeah, it's terrific to hear you every Saturday morning. You guys are great.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
All right. God bless.
All right. We'll
have a good
care.
Day.
Bye-bye.
410. WCBM 680. 410-922-6680.
And we have Ronald on the line.
Hey, Ronald.
Good morning, Ronald. You're up early.
Good morning, Alan, and good morning to you, Mr. Alan, as well. I enjoy my hunting fishing show there with Alan and Miss Robin and Chris there. So I saw all of you. I look, I said, I love this show already. Listen to that Alan there.
Well,
stories, Alan. You got, oh, Alan, you know a lot about hunting and fishing. You the man, like I said. I said, so how y'all doing?
Doing good.
Doing good.
Well, I've been doing it a long time. I've started hunting, you know, with the BB gun when I was 10 years old. So that's That's 50 plus years of experience. I started really deer hunting when I was 13, and so yeah, it's been I was thinking last year here it was 50 years since I took my first deer. There's been a lot of deer taken since then.
That's been a long time.
It has. And I grew up rabbit hunting. There weren't a ton of hunters in my family, and I didn't go with my family at all. I depended on, you know, relatives and friends. And there was one fellow in particular that was, my dad was a nursing home administrator, and there's one fellow in particular that ran the recreation department. And he came from Washington State, and yeah, he was quite a hunter. He was a hunter and a fisherman, and he had a brother who had a family cabin down on the north branch of the Potomac River in West Virginia. So as a teenager, I would come home from school on Friday. I wouldn't go back to sleep. I wouldn't go to bed, and he would pick me up.
Yeah.
He'd pick me up around midnight or so, or 2 o'clock, and we'd drive down through Cumberland down to the North Branch, go to the cabin. By the time we got to the cabin, day was breaking, and if we weren't, and in the spring we'd go trout fishing in West Virginia on the Lost River and in Wardensville and that type of thing. But we'd get in the river at daylight in our and wet wade. With minnows. The night before Friday, we'd go out and we'd get a milk can full of minnows. And, everybody would have their own minnow bucket with them. Everybody would just get a pile of minnows out of there, and we'd fish out with minnows for whatever the Potomac had to offer. Channel catfish and smallmouth bass and everything and anything. So that's...
minnows, were they called worms or something?
No, well, we had worms. No, minnows are small fish.
Oh, small fish.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Small fish. We had creek minnows and chubs and dace and all kinds of different species of minnows.
And I was thinking about like red perch. They had to, go downtown Fagley's pub, eat me on some red perch or some the big mouth bass. Because I never had that fish there yet and never tasted it.
Largemouth bass. I used to catch them and eat them, and I gave that up to catch and release them. But they were not that great at eating fish.
Oh, okay. See,
I ate hundreds of them when I was a teenager. Yeah. So. All right.
Okay.
All right, Ronald. Well, thank you so much. Say hi to your mate there.
I certainly will, and I enjoyed listening to the show. You and this were out there, like I say, Krista. Yeah. How you? Like I said, I had it on the news, and I said, no, I'm going to turn to Robin.
All right. We appreciate Thank you, buddy.
You take it easy.
Yep.
All right, y'all do the same, Miss Robin.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
410 WCBM 680. I saw that, Chris. I heard that. So, all right. You guys are crazy. You know that.
That's why you love us.
Uh-huh. That's true.
That's why we get along so good.
I know. So I was at a couple of our sponsors this week, in particular Clyde Sports Shop, and I got a little tour of the Browning firearms. And I asked what the difference was between an X-Bolt Speed, a Long Range, and a McMillan. And I learned very quickly what the difference was. The McMillan is a long-range rifle similar to the long-range model, but it has a McMillan stock on it, which means it's got a thicker hand grip, and it's got a raised cheek piece to get your cheek on the stock a little bit higher so you can look through the scope a little bit better. And then the Speed model has a shorter barrel and it's much lighter. But these are wonderful firearms from Browning bolt-action rifles, select calibers, of course. And then there's the X-Bolt, which is a bolt-action rifle as well, just like the Hell's Canyon, but it's not quite, it doesn't have the arid urban camo or the Cerakote barrel. It's just your standard hunting rifle that's extremely accurate, and it just feels good in your hand, the X-Bolt from Browning. So those are two bolt-action rifles. The Hell's Canyon comes in three models, the Speed, the Long Range, and the Macmillan with the Macmillan stock, and then the X-Bolt by itself. You can check those out all out at Clyde Sports Shop. If you've not enjoyed your old rifle this past deer season, you can pick one of these up at Clyde Sports Shop. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. They're just off Beltway Exit number 9. The phone number 410-242-6108, 242-6108. And don't forget their fishing sale coming up March 5th through March 14th. It's a 10-day sale. We'll tell you more about that later. So it's cold out there.
Yes, it is. We had the only Shih Tzu that wanted to be a popsicle this morning.
Yeah, the Shih Tzu wanted to go out. One of them wanted to go out and stay out. So, I mean, in my mind, it would be okay. I'd bring her in tomorrow.
Stop it. So mean.
Anyway, do you have a fireplace in your house, one of those beautiful, you know, surrounded by brick or stone? It's just a hole in the wall that, you know, sucks the heat out of the room. Well, we used to have one of those, but now we fixed it. We visited Hearth America at Backyard Billy's, the premier fireplace and hearth dealer in the region. Robin and I selected Backyard Billy's to supply our Enviro EX35 gas fireplace insert after several disappointing visits to several other Delmarva locations and supply that are hearth suppliers. Yep, Hearth America did the installation. They've provided us with friendly, knowledgeable follow-up and service, and we both enjoy the convenience, the beauty, and the room-filling heat from our gas fireplace insert, and you can too. Hearth America at Backyard Billy's carries both Enviro and Regency brands, and now's the perfect time to own a new pellet, gas, electric, or wood stove from Hearth America at Backyard Billy's in Graysonville or Kent Island, whichever's closer. Stop into the showroom, Route 50, Exit 44. Be ready for the cold weather now. Visit BackyardBillies.com, the Hearth America Facebook page. Call 410-827-4500. That's 410-827-4500. Backyard Billy's open 7 days a week. Route 50, Exit 44. If it's heat you want, Hearth America at Backyard Billy's is the fireplace. Alan Ellis here for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. I visited both Catonsville Linex and talked to Jack Carver this week, and Bay Linex, Glen Burnie, visited them too, and talked to Robert Hawkins, Bobby's son, there at the location. So Linex spray-on truck bedliners provide unmatched protection for your vehicle with the toughest bedliners on the market. Whether you're a farmer, whether you're a hunter, a crabber, an angler, a contractor, a weekend warrior, your Linex bedliner with a lifetime warranty sprayed in your truck bed protects your truck bed from scrapes and impacts no matter what your gear. Whether you carry tree stands or tackle boxes or crab pots or ATVs or tools of any kind, your Linex bedliner will not crack, bubble, or peel. Bay Linex, Glen Burnie, located off Ritchie Highway at 201 Wholesome Way, like the bread, H-O-L-S-U-M, in Glen Burnie. Give Bobby Hawkins a call, 410-487-6405. 410-487-6405. Catonsville Linex is just off Security Boulevard on 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill. Call Jack Carver at 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex can install tough truck gear accessories too, and even protect your vehicle from rust with Value Guard. Do what I do, have Bay Linex of Glen Burnie or Catonsville Linex install your Linex spray-on truck bed liner today. We'll be right back.
When your weather alerts up for the late weekend forecast, the potential for over 5 inches of snowfall here in Baltimore Sunday afternoon, Sunday night, Monday, as a storm system develops off the coast and brings northeast winds and some moderate snows into our forecast, and it all gets started tomorrow. Our high today, 40 degrees. Our low tonight, 27. Afternoon snows tomorrow, some 6 inches of accumulation by Sunday night, and additional 5-inch totals Monday, 34. I'm Scott Lariamore at the Weather Channel on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Madonna Seafood is known for having the best crabs and seafood in Harford County. Madonna Seafood is just a quick scenic trip from Baltimore up Delaney Valley Road. Madonna Seafood Carryout has delicious steamed crabs by the dozen to the bushel, great seafood, pizza, subs, and a whole lot more. Call into the carryout at 410-557-2722. That's 410-557-CRAB. Take exit 27B off the 695 Beltway, Delaney Valley Road North, Route 146. Turn left on Norrisville Road, and you've arrived at Madonna Seafood. Crabs for the holidays? No problem. Call 410-557-CRAB for tasty steamed crabs at Madonna Seafood. Madonna Seafood, year-round crabs, 4105 Norrisville Road in Whitehall, Maryland, 410-557-CRAB. That's 2722. www.madonnaseafood.com. Madonna Seafood is open every day at 11 a.m. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. Battery Warehouse, convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
How high's the water, mama? 2 feet high and rising. How high's the water, papa? She said it's 2 feet high and rising. But we can make it to the road in a homemade boat, 'cause that's the only thing we got left that'll float. It's already over all the wheat and oats. 2 feet high and rising. How high's the water, mama? 3 feet high and rising. How high's the water, papa? She said it's 3 feet high and rising. Well, the hives are gone, I lost my bees. Chickens are sleeping in the willow trees. Cows in water up past her knees. 3 feet high and rising. How high's the water, mama? 4 feet high and rising. How high's the water, papa? She said it's 4 feet high and rising. Hey, come look through the window pane. The bus is coming, gonna take us to the train. Looks like we'll be blessed with a little more rain. 4 feet high and rising.
All right, let's talk to whoever's on the line. Looks like Eddie in Highlandtown, or Hollandtown. Morning, Eddie.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great, Alan and Robin. Love to hear you both. You're such an inspiring radio couple.
Thank you.
Inspiring.
Hey, I'm not feeling very inspiring today. I got to get perkier.
Well, I appreciate whatever you do. I'm a city guy. I was raised in New York City, and I've been living in Baltimore, Maryland since 87.
Right.
I'm 50-something now. And I don't do any kind of hunting at all or fishing. I'm not against it. I just don't really. I haven't gotten into it. But I do spend a lot of time in nature, so I really appreciate your show for that aspect, and I really I'm fascinated by the whole hunter lifestyle and outlook. So thank you for that.
Cool.
My pleasure.
Now, but I have two questions. The first one's pretty easy, maybe. The first one is, if I'm not up this early in the morning to listen to this great show, is there a way that I can podcast it or listen to it later?
Absolutely.
Yep.
And the second question is a little more complex. When I'm out hiking, sometimes I get a little self-conscious about, you know, if I'm in a hunter territory, or if maybe I'm not wearing something that's like too reflective or visible. And I want to make sure that I don't, you know, like get accidentally, you know,
accidentally shot.
Yeah, that's it.
That's a good idea.
One of your best investments for that is a simple
blaze orange, daylight orange, fluorescent orange cap that you can wear.
Okay.
That's what's required for hunting when it's deer hunting season. You can be seen a tremendous distance away with that. If someone sees blaze orange moving through, on a trail in the brush or something like that, it's not gonna, they may get upset because there's someone perched in a tree stand and you're walking through there. But you know what? If it's on public land, that's the risk you take. But to wear a blaze orange cap is probably, one of the best things you can do to protect yourself.
Very good. I already do that. I have a couple different reflective things like vests and yeah. So I'll
yeah, not, not I mean reflective is good if you're hiking along the roadway, but for in the woods, you know, the color is what's important. The reflective tape is okay, but the blaze orange vest. A lot of us hunters wear a blaze orange vest. You know. But yep. What's required for safety in Maryland is a cap of 250 square inches, which is not hard to do.
Got it, Orange. Okay,
yep.
Very good. And
yep.
How about podcasting your show? Or
podcast the show. Go to my website, ellisoutdoors.com.
Gotcha.
Ellisoutdoors.com. And you'll see a lot of things on there. You click on the Outdoors and Radio Show, and then that gives you my bio and talks. You know, there's photos of people I've been had my photo taken with and met through the years, but then there is a page for podcasts and you can go all the way back as far
Excellent.
As you want.
Thank you so much and bless your heart, and what a great show, and happy hunting to you and all your listeners.
Our pleasure.
You have an awesome day.
You too.
Yes,
bye-bye.
Indeed. Thank you. Take care. Chris, did you ever hear the tape of Groundhog Day back in 89 or 90?
No, I have not.
That I did for the station.
No.
Well, that was back in the days of some pretty wild people there at WCBM.
I can imagine.
Uh-huh. So I called in one day and I said, hey, let's do this. They said, okay, you ready? I said, yeah, it was Groundhog. Well, it was the day before. Groundhog Day, and I called in like I was coming to the folks live from Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, and I said, you know, I'm here about 200 yards away from the celebration of Groundhog Day, and I've got my binoculars, and I'm keeping an eye on things, and I said, there's the ground, that's somebody's glove, sorry, and as it wore on, I said, you know, I can see the groundhog. I'm going to make sure he doesn't see his shadow. And a shot rings out, and I said, well, thanks, guys. Nice talking to you. I got to go. So Groundhog Day is coming up on February 2nd, and the prediction is going to be what, Chris? With snow on the ground, will the groundhog see his shadow or not see his shadow this year?
No, I don't think he's going to see his shadow this year.
You don't think so, huh?
No.
Okay. So, have you ever eaten groundhog, Chris?
No, I have not. And in fact, I guess now it's been about a month, Chuck was out and he got a groundhog and I asked him about, you know, are you going to make a stew out of it? And he said,
yeah.
Oh no. And I'm like, yeah. Man, that would be interesting to try.
Yeah. I've had it fried. It is
yeah,
very good.
Nuts.
Mm-hmm.
That
have you ever eaten sausage?
Excuse me.
No, I have not tried groundhog.
No. Sausage.
Oh, sausage. Yes.
Yeah. Well, then you've eaten groundhog.
You fell right into that one, Chris.
Well, you did, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, somebody's got to step in it. And I usually do.
So this is from our buddy Joe. I love February because it contains two of my favorite annual events, Groundhog Day and the State of the Union Address. One involves a meaningless ritual in which we look to a notoriously unreliable mammal for prognostication with no basis in reality. The other one involves a groundhog.
I knew this was going somewhere.
Joe said he was born on February 2nd in the same year I was born, 1954. By the time I was four, I was tired of people asking if I'd seen my shadow. I feel sorry for everybody born on February 2nd. always nice to lighten it up. Joe, I appreciate that. Good man. Anybody on the line there, Uncle Chris?
No, sir. The lines are silent.
Quiet. All right.
We had that initial rush, and now you can hear the crickets.
Crickets must be pretty cold.
Yeah.
I would think.
Their little legs are shivering, so they're still making noise.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering what crickets do in the winter, other than come into our house.
I don't know.
Nasty cave crickets or whatever they're called. Man, I'll tell you. Have you ever seen those, Chris?
Yes. When I lived in Catonsville. Yeah, they were in my basement, and they were nasty looking.
Oh, they're nasty looking. They're crunchy, too. I mean, they're hard to kill.
Like cicadas.
Cicadas are crunchy.
Yeah, they're not as bad. These things jump on you. Cicadas.
No, I can pick up a cicada, but I can't pick up a cave cricket unless it's in a tissue.
No, but our grandson can if he finds them.
Yeah, he'll pick them up. He plays with them. I find them fascinating. I like to try if I'm in the bathroom and otherwise preoccupied, and I see one, you know, creeping by or coming out of the out from under the register or something like that. Hairspray works wonders. Now, I don't use a lighter in hairspray. I just use a hairspray.
It slows
them down.
Care of them.
It slows them down.
Oh, it certainly does.
Yeah, it slowed them right down. Their little legs don't make any noises anymore.
Nope.
So, yep. And then, of course, there's always the burial at sea. So. All right, 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Yikes.
I'm not even saying
anything. There's John B. says, I remember Mom used to cook groundhog, and she stuffed them. Sometimes she'd chew two of them. She baked them and stuffed them and had them on a platter. They're greasy. Yep, I bet they are.
I bet I'm never going to find out.
You're never going to find out? I bet they'd be good in a crock pot. They do have a little gland somewhere. I'm not sure if it's on their back or between, you know, or on their legs. I'm not sure that you probably should take off. But there's no reason not to eat groundhog.
I can give you about 30 if you want me to start.
Do what?
I can give you about 30 reasons not to eat groundhog if you want me to.
30 reasons not to?
Blah.
Well, they're vegetarians. You don't have to look at them. You only eat like sick of deer tenderloins.
I know, I'm strange.
I eat all kinds of game. I love it. Rabbits. I love rabbits. I love rabbits. I like geese. I'll tell you, if you take some seasoning, like Montreal seasoning or steak seasoning or something like that, and put it on a plate and press your goose breast down into it and freeze them like that, when you get them out and you put those geese in a crock pot. Uncle Dale told me how to cook geese. Chicken broth and chicken gravy in the crock pot and cook them. They'll shrink up a little bit, but if you put that seasoning on there, you'll see it stays on there. All the peppers and all the seasoning stay on there. And you get them out of the crock pot and just wipe the gravy off of them a little bit and put them in the refrigerator. And the next morning, you wake up and you slice those goose breast thin and put them on a cracker or something like that. That is spectacular eating. Spectacular. Good for in the goose blind, good for in the duck blind. You know, just slice up a bunch of them, share it with your mates in the blind. Ah, boy, is that good. I'm hungry now for goose breast. I haven't shot a goose in a while.
You know. All I remember about goose breast is biting into buckshot because of my dad.
Well, I know. I understand that. But if you slice them thin, you avoid all that.
It better be real thin.
If you run across a shot pellet when you're slicing them, you can discard that piece. Very easy. One of my favorite stories involves a deer shoulder roast. I was doing business with a fella who cut deer. and a lot of them. And I won't name him, and I won't tell you where it was, but he was a customer, and he was doing, you know, doing some good advertising with us, and so I decided to repay the favor by having him do my deer. And I did, I must have shot five or six deer that year, maybe six, I would think, because I was hunting management hunts at the time. So I decided I was going to cook a shoulder roast, and I had, you know, had a whole front shoulder roast there, thawing out on the counter. I was rinsing it off, getting ready to put it in a crock pot or something. And I held it up, and there was my shotgun slug hole. He hadn't trimmed it. He hadn't trimmed the shoulder roast. There was a slug hole right through it. I thought, oh, brother. Well, I like the guy. He's a good customer, but I don't think he's going to cut any more deer for me. So, all right, let's talk to Jordan. Good morning, Jordan.
Hey, Jordan.
Good morning, Alan. Good morning, Robin. How are you doing?
Doing well. How about
Looking
you?
Looking forward to the snow.
Good. Well, I'm going to do after I finish the call. I'm going to go outside and do some ice fishing out in my backyard.
No, that's good.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Go enjoy that.
I know that. Maybe we'll bring up a groundhog, too.
That's very possible.
You know, Punxsutawney Phil might be in quarantine when they come out to get him.
He very well might be.
They'll go out to get him, his handlers, and he will come out.
That's right.
You know what he may do? He may come out with a mask.
That's possible. I'm sure everybody will be masked.
So many. I remember about 45 years ago, the family was on a trip. Like I said, it was about 45 years ago, and everything was closed. We were traveling in the middle of the night. Howard Johnson's was around then.
Yeah, of course.
Of course, you remember that the motto was the host of the highway.
Right.
And
best fried clams around.
I came in, I said, I'm so hungry I could eat a groundhog.
That's funny. Yeah.
Yeah,
boy, they did have good clams, though, that's for sure.
Well,
remember the fried clams at Howard Johnson's?
No, I couldn't eat those.
That's right. Well, I will tell you.
Sorry.
Their fish fry was good, though.
Uh-huh.
They used to have a Friday night fish fry, and it was good. It was nice.
Sure. Yep. All right, Jordan. Well, enjoy your day. We've got to move along to some other callers.
Yeah, and I'm going to go out in the backyard and do some ice fishing.
Let us know how it goes.
You do that, buddy.
Oh, okay.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Talk to Joe. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Alan. Good morning, Robin. How are you all doing?
Doing great.
Hanging in there.
Good, good. Well, I heard you talking about hunting, and I went to a lot of different stores recently looking for a camouflage shirt, but I couldn't find one. I couldn't see them.
Oh, I like that.
Well, that's good. Couldn't see them, huh? All right.
Have you been bothered by some of the new regulations on stuff? I know down on the Eastern Shore with all of the chickens, they have a lot of chicken coops. I understand they're now making it a requirement that a chicken coop can have only two doors.
Haven't heard that one. Is there a punchline?
Two doors. It's a chicken sedan.
I'm sorry. He's funny.
That's a good one.
That's what I wanted to do, was make Robin laugh.
You did. You did.
You did a great job.
Good job. Good job.
This year has got to get better. I don't know how, but we'll just keep laughing, and that'll help.
I hope so.
All right. And it's always wonderful to hear you guys. As a matter of fact, the fishing is what I mostly like listening about, but I do like the hunting stories, too. But
we used
to try to do a little now and then.
You got it. All right, buddy. Thank you so much.
You have a wonderful day.
You do the same.
Take care, Joe.
Have a wonderful week.
I plan on. I'll be out in the woods at least one day.
All right.
Yeah, I'm going to take the muzzleloader for a walk on probably, well, maybe Monday and Tuesday. Who knows?
Yeah, do you use a leash with that?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. Correct.
Bye.
Camo Preacher. Good morning, Camo Preacher.
Hey.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm doing. How are you doing?
We're doing all right.
We're doing all right.
Forget about it, eh?
Yeah.
You guys were talking about those cave crickets.
Yep.
I had to call in. Probably one of the creepiest, scariest memories in my life was living at Dundalk. We had a crawl space underneath the house.
And
it seemed like at least once a month I had to go down there and tinker with the heat or something to crawl down in there. And there was one, this happened a lot, but one morning in particular I went down there and all four walls in this crawl space were coated, I mean coated, with those crickets. You could hardly see the cinder block. There were so many.
That's the time to drop a bomb in there.
No kidding. But, you know, I'm down there, and you're kind of helpless because you don't have a lot of room to move anyway. And I'm watching these things, and I swear, it looked like they were watching me. It looked like all these tiny eyes at the same time were following my every movement. And I just had this overwhelming, creepy feeling. They're deciding whether they can take me or not.
Oh, it's got a hot thing.
Well, you know, I wouldn't be in that situation. You know, I would come up from the crawl space, and I would look at Robin, and I would say, "Honey, you're going to be cold today."
Yeah. Well, I can say that to my wife, but it's a little tougher with my two little kids.
Yeah, I understand it. I'll be right back. I'm going to the hardware store.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm getting a bug bomb. I don't even know if that would work.
I don't know.
It didn't.
Oh, no. Man.
They don't die.
No, they're hard
and
to kill.
In the winter, they seem to go and hibernate somewhere.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. So, it was just so creepy. It seemed like it was almost like I could hear them thinking, I think we could take him, a tasty morsel. Anyway,
yeah, no thanks.
Thanks for bringing that memory up. I appreciate it.
No problem.
You
buddy.
Just brought one up for me because my dad, when he was a kid, would put everything in his pockets, right? So he came in one night and he actually put his clothes in the dirty hamper. Okay, and he was about 8, 9, maybe if that. Next morning, they had a green bathroom. My grandfather goes in there, sits down, looks up, and the walls are moving. Actually moving.
Wow.
And he had put a praying mantis pod in his pocket. And because it got hot, it hatched overnight.
Oh,
and there were so
God.
Many of them that the walls looked like they were moving.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good memory.
Yeah, it is. Thanks very much. I'm going to have a traumatic day.
Good. All right.
Look, well, you started me with the cave crickets because
yeah,
I freak.
We just wanted to stir something up, and I'm glad we did.
Yeah, oh, you did. I need therapy now.
Okay, good.
God bless you guys.
Thank you.
You also. You have a wonderful day.
Hey, listen. Did you see the gas prices going up again?
Yes.
And now they're charging $1.50 for air.
Oh, they are.
Yeah, I guess that has something to do with inflation.
I would think so.
That's bad.
See you, Russ.
Russ, you have a great day.
See you, buddy. Take care.
Bye.
All right. Okay, so, look, you're looking out in the backyard, and it's going to be bleak the next couple of days. There's nothing going to be out there other than some, you know, some snow. So why not add a little color? Wouldn't it be nice to look out there and see a beautiful, colorful set of lawn furniture, a picnic table in an orange or bright blue or something like that really, really dresses up your yard and makes you happy. Well, I know where to get that. Yep, Backyard Billy's. They are your go-to place. Backyard Billy's on Kent Island, Graysonville, is your go-to place for making backyards fun. A giant selection of colorful poly and hardwood outdoor and patio furniture, including tables and chairs. And those Adirondack chairs that we like can be seen from Route 50 at Exit 44 in Kent Island. You'll find swing sets and tiki bars and storage sheds at Backyard Billy's Backyard. Free setup and delivery within 60 miles and free delivery to the Maryland and Delaware beaches. Now is the time to go look.
You know what you need to do today?
What?
Because the snow's coming.
What?
You got to go get one of those fire pits they got so when the snow stops, you can sit outside in the snow and stay warm.
Get a fire pit. Boy, that's great. I like that idea. Yeah.
We have one.
We do. Now, inside Backyard Billy's huge showroom, you can check out the barbecue grills by Traeger and Big Green Egg and Kamado Joe. So think about it. There's a beautiful Big Green Egg sitting out on your deck, and you've got your patio furniture out there, and you've just dressed up everything in your backyard. You can browse the great-looking garden decorations for any lifestyle theme and budget, and Backyard Billy's is the premier fireplace and hearth dealer in the region. Visit BackyardBillies.com or call 410-827-4500. That's 410-827-4500. Backyard Billy's open 7 days a week. Route 50, exit 44. Your backyard is going to look great. And I hope I have time for this. I do. Linex spray-on bedliners, truck bedliners, provide unmatched protection for your vehicle with the toughest bedliners on the market. Whether you're a farmer, a hunter, a crabber, a fisherman, a weekend warrior, a contractor, your Linex bedliner with a lifetime warranty protects your truck bed from scrapes and impacts no matter what your gear. And guess what? It increases your trading value, too. Whether you haul tree stands or tackle boxes or crab pots or any kind of tools, your Linex bedliner will not crack, bubble, or peel. Catonsville Linex is just off Security Boulevard on 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill. Give Jack Carver a call at 410-455-0800. That's 455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located off Ritchie Highway at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Bobby Hawkins is the man there, 410-487-6405, 410-487-6405. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex can install tough truck gear accessories and even protect your vehicle with ValueGuard no rust protection. Do what I did and have Catonsville Linex or Bay Linex of Glen Burnie install your Linex spray-on truck bedliner and truck gear today. By the way, for those of you with Super Duty trucks, the three-inch hitch from B&W have arrived at Glen Burnie. I saw five boxes of them there, so stop by and get your three-inch hitch at Bay Linex at Glen Burnie. You'll be glad you did. Well, looks like we're going to have to push a couple commercials off to the next hour, and anybody who is on the line, I appreciate you holding, and we'll get back to you right after the news. Robin?
Everybody, get out, stay safe, drive safely this week, and enjoy the snow.